where it says, I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Certainly we are blessed to be in Christ Jesus tonight. I'd like to welcome everyone that's come out tonight to be a part of the worship service here at the Northwest Congregation. I'd like any visitor that may be in the audience to know that you also are an honored guest, and we'd like for you to take a bulletin home with you so that you have record of all the times that we come together here at Northwest for any and all services, and want you to be a part of that. I want you to make plans in your heart to be a part of that. Certainly, if you need anything, the church is willing to look into that to see if we can be of assistance to you. We have prayer request forms in the back of the pew in front of you. Certainly, we have the names of the leadership there on the bulletin as well. It's always good to see the membership. We are excited each time we see you. Tonight, if it's the Lord's will, I will speak to you on the subject of blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. This word blessed, as it's used in the message tonight, carries the meaning of blissed, happy, or contented. Contented. Assurance carries the meaning of having an emphatic guarantee or certainty. Blessed assurance. As I listen to my brothers and sisters, before we go, as we open, seeking prayers, many are sick. Many of our relatives are sick, and many have experienced death and this type of thing. But let's not get down, because such things are common to man. And we just have to keep praying and staying in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, pleasing Him in all ways that we can. That's our mission. We must please Him at all times. It is my intent tonight, my heart's desire, is to impress on all the fact that being in Christ Jesus, through obedient faith and baptism, we find peace, joy, and happiness. We also find contentment. This is all secondary to God's everlasting life assurance. We signed it in the words of inspiration, the good news of the Bible. We receive life assurance through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and through our obedience to the Word of God. Now, I know our brother Maloney used to sell life insurance, but I'm talking about life assurance. I'm talking about everlasting life. You could only collect with his insurance, life insurance, if you couldn't collect that yourself anyway. Your spouse would have to, your loved ones would have to collect that. But I'm talking about life assurance where we are assured that we have everlasting life through obedience unto death of God's word. Romans 16 and verse 1 says, teaches that the gospel is God's power to save. Friends, there's an unestimable value in possessing salvation. Matthew 13 and verse 44 teaches that the value of the church. It says the kingdom church, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hidden in a field, it says, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for thy joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath. Sells everything he hath. Everything he has doesn't come up to the value of the kingdom of heaven. And he buys that field. God desires all to be saved. God desires that none of his children have a doubtful mind and be lost. Luke 12 and verse 29 teaches, and set not your heart on what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be you worried about or anxious about, have a doubtful mind. Our God Jehovah wants us to feel no condemnation. Romans 8 and verse number 1 teaches, and if you have your Bible, I wish you'd go along there with me. Romans 8 and verse 1 teaches this. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, a sinful man, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, do concentrate on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit mind, or do concentrate on the things that are the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is an enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. There is a blessed assurance, my friend, for those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that mind or concentrate or give their full attention on the law of God. Hebrews 10 and verse 22 teaches us that we should draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Romans 15 and verse 13 teaches, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow, do you hear that, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My friends, we need not walk about with our heads down. I know that you, just like myself, sometimes you feel downtrodden, you feel like you're overburdened, you feel like the world is walking all over you, but you must keep your head up. Unless we must think of this life as the law of magnetism, is that all right? With us being the positive charge in the world, the negative, so we can draw all men, so we can draw men and women, souls out of the world and to the church. My friend, God, Jehovah, desires that we earnestly desire to live in eternity, in heaven, with him. 2 Peter 3, verses 12 and 13, teaches that we should be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the day of God's wrath will be a day of assured reward for the faithful in Christ Jesus. However, it will be a dreadful day for those that have rejected God's word. John 12, 48 says, the final day of man's abode upon this earth, on that day the heavens and the earth will be destroyed. All shall be dissolved in fervent heat, and the elements shall melt in this fervent heat. What's the thought? My friend, we can't stay here. We can't stay here. Where can we go to? Where can we have blessed assurance? We can only go but to the Lord. One song says, where can I go but to the Lord? Certainly that's so. Four quick points tonight, and the lesson is yours. Point number one, blessed assurance. Confidence that comes from our living the word of God. Not what we feel, but truth. I remember one brother giving an illustration of an evangelistic act that he did. And he said he went to a particular a family member, and he said to the family member, unless you're in Christ Jesus, and maybe not the same words, then you have no hope. You have no hope. But the family member said back, I just don't believe that a loving God will condemn my soul to hell. No, he won't. You hear that, church? He won't. You condemn your own soul to hell. He came not to this world to condemn anything, but he came to this world to seeking to save the lost. In 1 John 5 and verse 13, we learn from the inspired writer the following: "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know," K-N-O-W, "that you may have assurance," blessed assurance, "that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." My friends, humans are emotional beings. We have traits that come secondary to us being made in God's image. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Feelings. Feelings allow us to live on a higher plane than both wild animals and domesticated animals. Wild animals live off of the land. They prowl about and they live off their instincts. While domesticated animals have a limited relationship with man, and they live mostly on dependent upon man. Brother Malone can tell you that. I'm using you a lot tonight, Willie. I know about you. You brought your grandpa by the house, and I know that grandpa depends on you and on your family to feed it. Emotions in a human allows for a richer life. Emotion causes increased sensitivity to the needs of others and opens us up to pain, opens us up to worry, to embarrassment and doubt. Feelings cannot be trusted as a basic of our spiritual assurance. We can never know if we are saved or if we are lost solely on the way we feel. Because we feel that we have lived a godly life does not mean that we are saved. Feelings are uncertain. Assurance established upon feelings will come and go according to our emotions, according to the circumstances in our life, according to the chemical imbalances in our bodies. Assurance established upon the unchanging word of God is certain and steadfast. Psalms 119 and verse number 19 teaches us, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. Your word is established in heaven." Feelings can produce false concerns. We can feel bad about our condition, yet be wrong. Jacob mourned Joseph's death for many days, not knowing that he was alive in Egypt. We read about that over in Genesis 37, verse number 34. John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse number 20 the following: "If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things." We must lean and depend upon the Lord. And if we don't know how to do that, we can learn to lean. Isn't that what the song says? I'm learning to lean. Feelings can produce false confidence. One may feel good about his or her spirituality, yet be lost. Confidence. Point number two, confidence. Spiritual confidence is established upon the Spirit's testimony. 1 John 3 and verse 24. I'm not hearing any pages move. I take it that you're looking up on the wall. Not a man-made assurance. In verse number 24, it reads, "And he that keepeth," or "he that continues to keep his commandments, dwelleth in him, and he in him. And where hereby we know, we have assurance that he abideth in us, and hereby that if we continue to abide in him, he continues to abide in us. We know this by the Spirit which he hath given us." My friends, if you read, and I don't say the very same thing you're saying, it's because I am breaking it down. Somebody had called the word exegete. That's what I'm trying to do. And just read what's on the wall and listen in the same time if you can do that. Many feel that they are saved simply because someone told them that they're saved. Maybe their preacher
told them that they are saved. Once in Christ and never what? Never out, somebody says. But you can't fall from grace, somebody said. And I feel like the preacher is right. But the Bible says you can fall from grace. What's right? What is the right thing? The Bible is right. I listened to Brother Tim on yesterday at the funeral. He preached very well. I appreciate the fact that he preached to those that were living. I appreciate the fact that he gave the invitation and he was trying to seek and to save with the word of God those that were lost. Those that go about feelings on listening to those around about them, telling them that they're whether they be saved, have not taken the time to search the scriptures for themselves. Acts 17 and verse number 11. Yes, it's true, my friends. A man can be wrong. Even when man feels, means well, when he have good intentions, he may be wrong. In Matthew 7 and verse number 21, it tells about an individual that came about saying particular words, but he got this message: "Depart from me, I never knew you." God will say these words to those that go about doing things on their own accord. Even though we do good works, we still have to do good works according to God's will, don't we? I might go about doing good works all of my life, but if I'm not in Christ Jesus, I'm still what? Lost. I'm still lost. Many will hear upon the day of God's wrath, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye that work lawlessness. Ye that doeth not my will." Blessed assurance will be based upon the Holy Spirit's testimony. Paul was inspired of God to write in Romans 8 and verse number 16. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." How many of us are glad that we are children of God? How does the Spirit bear witness? The Spirit inspires the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, mature or complete, thoroughly furnished, or completely equipped with all good works. What does the Spirit say is required to be a child of God? The Scripture records how God takes care of man. We have a sin problem, but it was taken care of at, where were they taken care of, church? Upon the cross of Calvary. Romans 5 and verse number 8 through 10 teaches. "But God commended, God delivered with confidence his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than that, being now justified, being now declared innocent by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath." Through him. Through who? Through Christ Jesus. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, being in harmony now with God, through Jesus Christ, we shall be saved by his life." My friend, Jesus now invites all men to enjoy the freedom from sin afforded us through his blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. Purchasing the church, Acts 20 and verse number 28. Salvation is found in Christ Jesus, Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Point number three. Both blessed assurance and confidence comes as we walk, as we live continuously in the light. Not from past salvation. My friends, I just spoke to you concerning some of the teaching that the world teaches. Once in Christ and never out. That's not true. We must continue to live an obedient life in Christ Jesus unto death. All Christians must make a sincere effort to walk or live by the scriptures. 1 John 1 and verse number 5 through 10 reads as follows. What then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you? That God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk or live in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Such a one does not practice the truth. But if we walk or live in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us or continues to clean us from all sins. I get this now in verse number 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are liars if we say we have no sin. Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we have made him a liar and his word is not in us. When we walk in Jesus as Jesus walked, when we live as Jesus lived, we practice righteousness, we practice purity, we practice living in deed and in truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Point number 4. Normally you keep it time. Point number 4. To have fellowship with God is to have blessed assurance or assured happiness. We must get this now. We must not walk in darkness. 1 John 1 and verse number 6. Some Christians have very little confidence in their soul salvation. Why? Because they are not dedicated to God. When you're dedicated to God, when you're living God's word, when you're constantly examining yourself instead of someone else, Brother Willie, then you're able to repent. You can have that confidence that your soul has a home in heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 24 teaches that these type of people that have no confidence in the Lord, they try to serve both God and who? God and mammon. They try to serve both. The happiest people on earth are sincere believers who walk daily in the Lord. To fellowship with God, we must avoid claiming that sin does not affect us. 1 John 1 and verse 8. We must agree with the Bible that everyone struggles with temptation. James 1 and verse 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires, and enticed. To fellowship with God, we must not avoid confessing our sins to God and repenting of the same. God does not expect his followers to live a perfect life. When I say perfect, I mean a life without any sin or fault at all. No Christian save Jesus Christ has ever been able to go through this life without sinning. I'm not trying to open the door for you to sin tonight. I'm just telling you that he's given you at that. He loves you us so much that he's given us an avenue of escape called repentance. Romans 3 and verse 23 teaches, get this now, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is when we focus upon self-gratification and cease to make the effort to please God that we lose assurance of salvation. Amen. Parents, children, preachers, Bible school teachers, elders, deacons, members, we all sin daily. Sometimes we sin in thought. Our joy comes in knowing the forgiving nature of God that comes to us when we truly repent. We regain the blessed assurance of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1 and verse 9 teaches us this. It teaches us the blessed assurance of God toward all men. It reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness. God has a plan for us tonight for our salvation of our souls. God loves us so much that he has made this plan for us. Even so much he loves us that he has given his only begotten son, his only son that has a special relationship with him. Yes, we all are children of God, but Jesus Christ is his only begotten, his only son with relationships such as he has with God. This is God's plan of salvation for us. There is a must that comes with it, M-U-S-T. We must hear and believe the gospel, Romans 10 and verse number 17. We must repent of our past sins, Luke 13, 1 through 5, and Brother Branch broke that down this morning. And verse number 3 reads, we must repent or perish. We must confess Christ Jesus as God's Son, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. We must do this, because if we don't confess Jesus Christ before man, he said that he won't confess us before the Father which is in heaven. We must be baptized, immersed in water for remission of sin, Mark 16, verse 15 to 16. Someone says, what's in the water? Don't worry about it. Just do what he says do. Be immersed, be baptized for the remission of your sin. And then we come up from that watery grave of baptism, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're now in Christ Jesus. By being baptized, it has taken us through the portal. We're no longer just a physical man. We're spiritual man now. We're ready to do the work and to prove the good works of the Lord. We must live faithfully a life in Christ Jesus unto death. And we will receive a crown of life. Is everything going to be just peachy keen, somebody says? No. Just because we're in Christ Jesus doesn't mean that the world is not going to keep harassing us. Doesn't mean that even members of the church are not going to keep harassing us. We have to stay faithful to Christ Jesus even though we have these things that come up in our life. John went over to 1 John, 1 Thessalonians this morning. And he says, and over there it says, don't worry about it. He says, God will appear, God the Son will appear in flaming fire, taking vengeance. He's already said vengeance is mine, didn't he? It ain't none of mine. It's not mine. I know how to say that. But, says he will take care of it, and he will. A lot of times what the problem is, the reason we lose confidence and assurance is because he doesn't do it right away. We are hurt and we wish he'd do it right away. But he's given everybody a chance to repent. Even those people that mistreat us, he's given them a chance to repent. And sometimes he doesn't give them as much time as they think. Because if they die in their sins where he is, there they can't come. We're going to ask Brother Song leader. Greg, are you ready? To lead us in an invitational song. Trust and obey. Is that right? Trust and obey. That's what we must do in order to be in Christ Jesus. We must trust and obey. We must follow God's plan of salvation. Not only that, after we come up from the watery grave of baptism, we must trust and obey even unto death. We're going to ask you to stand at the conclusion of the song. If you desire prayer, if you have been properly taught, wish to be added to the body of Christ, we'll ask you to do so, make it be known at the end of the song. Brother Greg. Song.